The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
I think it's a good day to be a Yankee fan. We're recording this. It's 6:03, so if we hit like the hour mark, we'll maybe get Judge's first at bat.
We might. That would be cool to do live. We did it, man. We got through the regular season. These four games to me are essentially exhibition games. These are Grapefruit League games on March 8th with half the team going on the bus and the other half playing poker in the clubhouse. We've gotten through the grind, the marathon that is the 162 game season.
So let me ask you something, though. If these games are spring training games, what were the games over the weekend?
They were also spring training games, but they were at home. It's a little different.
Because I want to talk about the pictures only on your wife's Facebook, but you showed up to a rehearsal dinner dressed like one of Christopher Maltisanti's friends. Like, hey, can you talk to your Uncle Tony for me? You were wearing like a turtleneck, like a long sleeve turtleneck shirt. Yes. With pants and a jacket. Yep. And with your chain out as if you were trying to get Chris to talk to his uncle for you. And then you asked the private room where no TVs were on for the rehearsal dinner to put on the Yankee game for you.
That is all accurate. Yes.
How did the bride feel about that?
So I was the best man. I had a little bit of extra cachet, and look, the game was on mute. Thing is, there were like 30 people in there. It was very sly.
Was it like a cocktail? Was it like standing around kind of like a, cocktail hour type thing?
It was a sit down, but it was more of like the cafeteria lunch table type thing. So that made it a little bit more informal, I guess. And look, we walked in, there were two TVs, neither of them were on. But it's like, come on, we're in North Jersey. Judge is going for 62. Like I thought I had enough ammo to get it done. Now I do want to address the outfit. So there's two aspects to play in here. One, I've watched so much Sopranos that it's just starting to seep into my actual life just from watching it all the time. And number two, just from my, I guess, physical, obviously you've seen me. I'm 5'5", short, but muscular. Most clothes don't fit me very well. I don't look good in button downs. A polo is too casual for something like this. So I'm either going t-shirt, hoodie, or straight to jacket. I don't have that in between polo button down that everybody else has.
Okay. I'm not saying you didn't pull it off either. I want you to know that.
Oh, cool.
Like, it worked for you, but that is what you look like.
I got a lot of compliments, I will say. The fans seem to enjoy it.
So this whole weekend it's just been like, I don't know, is this guy gonna hit this home run?
Yeah, it's getting boring. Half the time he gets nothing to hit, and it's like it's becoming a chore. at least to me, like watching the game. When's he coming up? Oh, he's coming up. Then you get psyched up, and then he gets four balls in the dirt in a row, or he gets one pitch to hit and he pops it up. I've kind of lost interest. To me, getting to 60 was the big deal, like just starting with that six. At this point, 61, 62, 63, like he's not getting 70. Like it's kind of over for me.
Here's the thing. Like some people are like, oh, this is, you know, because it's a – I'm of the school that like it's cool, I guess. Like it's cool he had a really good season. But what he's doing is something I've already seen done six other times.
You have. I really haven't. Yeah.
Yeah. So like there's part of that for me. It's not like this is a once in a lifetime thing. This is a multiple time in a lifetime thing for me. So I do get why some people are excited with that. Now, let's say Aaron Judge is totally healthy and doesn't hit 62, just stays at 61. Or if let's say he had stayed at like 59. What do you think the difference is between 61 and 62 in terms of like, is that $10 million on the overall contract?
I don't think it's anything. I really don't think it's anything.
A penny?
Nah, if he's the MVP, he's the MVP.
He's definitely the MVP.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, you know, from a, I think even from like a lifetime earnings though, getting the 62nd is worth tens of millions of dollars.
Probably. No, it's a big deal to him. But like you, like I've lost interest. I was probably more into this than you, and I've already kind of lost interest.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it doesn't really mean anything. He's clearly won the bet on himself. Like it worked. Whether that's 60, 61, 62, the guy's going to get fucking paid this winter regardless. Like I don't think it means a whole lot. And again, I just think it's becoming a chore. I'm so sick of seeing Roger Maris Jr. Oh, my God.
I watched 61 again.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, so we watched it the other night or day or whenever we threw it on over the weekend. And I forgot. Now, you're not an Office person, right?
No, not really. I mean, I know about it, but yeah, I don't really watch it.
Okay, so for anyone who watched The Office, he's not Roger Maris Jr., but Josh, who ran the Stamford branch of Dunder Mifflin, plays one of Roger Maris's kids. So it's also like it was funny to watch to see like kind of how corny it was, like because in the movie, because they splice in the beginning between like the movie and like,
yes,
what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And so they show Josh from Dunder Mifflin Scranton is like, hey, he's like, oh, I've got dad's bat. And then they show, boom, he hits the home run. And I forgot that in real life, like my wife hadn't seen 61. So I had to say to her, like, this is real. This isn't like a scripted thing that they had Mark McGwire do. Mark McGwire's like, I touched that bat and I felt it in my heart. And like, we became one. And I was like, this isn't just bad acting. Like, this is what a real man said. And like, I got to stay up past my bedtime to see it.
Dude, he is milking it. Dude, like you're watching 61. Roger Maris Jr. and this whole home run chase, it's getting everybody nostalgic. He is getting, forget 15 minutes of fame. He is trying to turn this into 24 hours.
The Yankees tweeted about like, thanks for the Marises for being with us this season. They were like behind the plate.
Yeah.
How much more are we going to do with these people?
Have you seen his Twitter? He's tweeting every day, like, clean records matter. Like, trying to soak this all up, dude. Nobody cares. And he looked, I'll say it, he looked miserable when Judge tied it. He looked devastated when he was hugging Aaron Judge's mom. Like, he did not have a shrivel of a smile on.
I didn't realize, like, how tall he is. Like, he was close to, like, because Judge is a monster. And it looks like Judge only has, like, 2 inches on him.
Yeah, he took that picture with Judge and Stanton. You could tell Stanton does not want to be in that.
Yeah, Stanton's like, dude, I was at 59 or whatever. You're like, this sucks. Yeah, no, I'm over the Marises, like aggressively over the Marises. But yeah, no, I watched 61. It made me want to live tweet it. Like, I didn't feel like – I didn't have the energy. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like doing it like pausing. I'm going to take – but it is – It's funny. I really like have always loved the movie, and I watched it with my wife and like expected her to like fall in love with it too. And she was like, that was an awful movie. Like, that was just not a good movie.
I was like, if you're not a Yankee fan, like, you wouldn't like that much. And also, like, it also is one of those things where things change, but they stay the same. Like, think about it. If Judge and Stanton were doing this, like, in terms of the Mantle and Maris thing, everybody would be rooting for Judge. And people would be, like, actively rooting against Stanton. Just kind of like how they were in the movie. Like, I thought of that, too.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It'd be an interesting wrinkle that, like, Judge is a free agent.
Yeah, because that's just, the thing. We love our homegrown guys, man. Yeah, that's
but if one guy's gonna let's say they both were, you know, chasing it, one guy is definitely gonna be here for $22 million. The other guy's asking for $35 million a year for 8 years to stay.
Yeah, that does add a different wrinkle, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's when you get the guy people yelling like, Judge, you can't. You think you're better than Stanton? You deserve more than him. He's doing, you know, you're two behind him.
Dude, it really makes you feel bad. Like, not that I feel bad for Maris, but like, man, like, he got no love for what he did. Like, your own fan base is rooting against you. The whole thing with the babe, the asterisk, like, pretty fucked up that he never really got the shine. And now his kids are just getting all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so that is also like my thing with the, you know, oh, there should be two records. Yo, your dad died in this same situation, which was like less than ideal.
Yeah.
Like, you are, you know, it's a thing that haunted him, that and lung cancer from smoking 1 million cigarettes.
Oh, the entire movie, they're just ripping cigs. It's hysterical.
At one point, Mickey Mantle is like, what are you up to, 5 packs a day? And he's just like, yeah. Being an American. Yeah, like, this is a thing that, like, haunted him. Why would you wish that on someone else? I mean, I guess it's the other way.
Right. Yeah, no, I think they just feel regret. Like, because obviously they followed Maguire around and did it, and they were all nice to him. And they probably can't. I can't imagine how much they hate Maguire and Bonds. Like, Roger
Maguire is
so open on shitting on them.
They have said, we remain friendly with Mark Maguire. We don't think he's like a bad person or anything.
Okay.
But like, his record is different.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just sick of them show, and they have to go there at every single game. The guy's been going to Yankee games every night for 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah. You know, he's traveling internationally. It is funny to like watch how like it started with so many people, like the whole Maris family. Judge's dad was there, just like peeling off until like people who don't have to go to work.
Right. And why was – so I don't know if you noticed this. Judge's dad was not there for the Blue Jay – for when he tied it. It was
– maybe he's got a bunch of DUIs.
I was thinking that, or maybe he's unvaccinated.
No, I mean, he might – he just like – I don't know. It was the week. Like, it might be like, I have to go to work. I mean, or he has
to go to work. His son's got to make $300 million.
That is true. I think if I were Judge, like, I don't know that he probably could have retired his parents by now.
I mean, he's making $19 million this year, and he's going to get another $250K when he wins the MVP. So that's
I don't even know what his parents like do or did or whatever.
They're teachers or were teachers.
Yes, they were teachers. They were teachers. School starting.
There you go. Okay, I guess that's
so. Maybe he had to go back, and that's one of those things. So you don't raise, like, you adopt this kid. He ends up being one of the dudes from Space Jam. He's fucking huge. He makes it to. He gets a college scholarship. He gets drafted, gets a signing bonus, is doing all of this stuff. And now he's just about to get to the spot, you know, of like immortality. And after every way you've raised him, you show him like, something better came up. I'll just walk away from my career right now. I don't know, like, that close to the – I feel like you don't raise a kid like Aaron Judge, who's a nice guy, and like just dip out the week school starts or whatever.
I agree 100%, and I was kind of waiting for the moment to drop this, so I'll do it now. I am expecting a kid this January.
I know you're going to be like, I've enrolled in his school. I am a smaller man. I'm in the seventh grade. I'm fucking sick of kickball. You're going to be a dad. Congrats.
Thank you. And with that, I was actually thinking about this, like what in my life would cause me to miss something like that? And it would have to be something catastrophic happening to somebody else in my family. There's nothing work related. There's nothing friend related. There's really nothing that I can think of short of a catastrophe that would allow me to miss something like that for my kid.
But this is like, so like, I understand that. I think if whatever it was, he was just like, boom, I'm there. Right. Like, hey, work, I've been gone for a week. I'm going to be gone for another week. And if they're like, well, we'd have to move on without you, like, boom, then there it is. I'm here with my son. I totally understand that. I also see a world where there is, hey, like, we need you back here. If you need to be there. No, you know what? The kids, the community. And, you know, these are the things, the cornerstones that I built my son on. So I'm going to do that. I could see that happening too. I could also see I'm unvaccinated, DUI, something like that, you know. Like, was his wife there? Does Arizona talk to Ontario? Maybe we should have said, do you know who my husband is?
She wasn't there. You're right. The girl, I don't think his wife was there.
Yeah, she got a DUI in Arizona in spring training 2 years ago.
That means she can't fly to Canada? Is that a rule?
Canada is not very friendly to people who have DUIs. Canada is a weird place. Like, all right, so a decade ago, I did a contract for a company in Toronto. I lived in New York, and so like 1 week a month for 4 months, I would go up there. Ugh. And I was during summer. I scheduled 1 week. The Yankees were there, went to a bunch of games.
Yeah, it
was the summer. The summer in Toronto is like pretty nice. I did like a weekend there at one point. So, and it's a quick trip from New York. It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, it's like nothing. It's a nothing flight.
All right.
So, where was – oh, yeah. So, I'm like – I go out to like get lunch, and I get to an intersection, and everyone's waiting because like the stoplight for walking is like, don't walk. I look left. I look right. There's not a car for blocks. Everyone's standing there. I see it again the next day. And I asked one of the guys, I went out to lunch and I was like, what's the deal? Like, you can't, there's no cars. Like, no one's going to get hit. And I said, well, that's jaywalking. And I was like, yeah, but like, what are we doing? There's no cars here. Like, and they literally said to me, if we start breaking that law, like, how fast does it become murder?
What?
Like, wow. We're just such polite. We follow the rules because if we get out of line, you know, chaos can ensue. It all starts somewhere.
Yeah, that's psychotic to me. There's got to be some middle ground here. Like, that is way too black and white. You know, we're in kindergarten with these rules here. Like, you got to have at some point we're adults. Like, let's use some common sense. Comparing jaywalk to murder is absurd.
Well, you let someone in with a DUI. Next thing you know, murder.
That, I bet, man, she must have been butthurt and he must have been pissed that she wasn't.
But it also, it could be a vaccine thing, you know, but although if they're not retired and they're teachers in the state of California, they had to get it.
Yeah. And I think they are. So that makes sense, man. We're covering everything here. And I love that nobody got the ball. I love that it just fell into the bullpen and the guy just gave it to Joe.
Did you see everything that happened around that?
The guy's face and him freaking out. The guy that
No. Did you see the guy who actually got it, like the bullpen coach, his wife?
No. So what happened?
So his wife is like a smoke show Fox reporter, like Fox Sports. Does, I don't know, college football or basketball or something like that. So she is tweeting like I'm down in Florida, like holding down the fort because they have a house down there or they live down there, whatever. And he just works for Toronto because of the hurricane. Then she takes a screenshot of like four whatever things. Like, she searched her husband's name on Twitter and it was people saying like he got the ball.
Yeah.
So I'd like to announce my retirement. And then it was that like he just gave the ball and she was like, I'd like to announce my divorce. But also the ball hits, comes down, he gets it. Some security comes. Security is like, oh, hey, like we're from Major League Baseball. And but they also see Zach Britton and they're like, we know he's on the team. We don't know you. So they gave the ball to Zach Britton because they were worried, like, some, if it's some security guard, he walk out of the building. Possession's 9/10. I don't know what it is in Canada.
Right. So Britton gave it to, I guess Britton gave it to Judge then.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, that's how it got back around to him. And who knows? Like, maybe Judge by – I'm sure Judge will do something for the bullpen coach.
Yeah.
You know, buy him dinner, you know, something like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, if a fan catches it, it might ask for $1 million, $2 million. Who knows? There's one guy that runs an auction company that's offering $2 million to whoever gets it.
For 62?
Yeah, for 62.
Yeah, like – yeah, I don't know. I think 61, they said, would have been worth like $1 million. So like catching would be cool. I mean, but that guy, it's not like he like it hit him in the pocket and he dropped it. Like he just, you know, he got very close.
Yeah, no, it was tight. I was just happy that Hample didn't get it. I honestly thought he would. He's got like an algorithm of where the home runs are going to land.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he really stands a chance. At least I didn't think he did in New York if he was even there, because listen, you get in the bleachers in the Bronx and it would have to be hit directly at him, because I think once a ball goes in the air, if he's trying to run the bleachers, somebody puts him on the fucking ground. Like he's eating a shoulder from someone of just like, no, you're not going to be the guy.
Well, yeah, dude, it's dangerous. Everybody's standing on benches, you know, on top of each other. Like it would, I mean, it's going to be a safety. It won't happen at Yankee Stadium now because it's over, but it would have been a safety hazard if he hit that into the bleachers at Yankee Stadium, 100%.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to be down there for Texas. Who knows? But I after those kids gave up, I mean, they're college age men. Gave up the ball for like signed balls when it could have been at least like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that like guys, anybody in the game of baseball who gets the ball would just give it to him. A bullpen coach, a bullpen catcher, anybody. Like it'd be pretty pathetic. Even if you're a guy making the minimum, or even if you're up from the minor leagues, I feel like there's this unwritten, you're in the union together. You know?
If you are a player, you 100% do it. So here's one thing I wondered. You're the bullpen coach. I don't know what his career was like or if he made any money or anything like that. I can look that up. But is I don't know. Well, it's only $1 million. So if it was like $3 million, it's like, I don't know. Is that worth it?
To have everybody else in the league think you're a scumbag.
You don't really have to work anymore.
That's true.
You make more on interest on $3 million than you do as the bullpen coach.
What's a bullpen coach make you think of? 150?
Not a lot. Yeah, probably something like that. I mean, you get a lot of free shit. Like, you know, most of your meal, you're not buying a meal ever.
Right, but all those coaches have to be making six figures, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're in the major leagues. They have to travel. They have to dress a certain way.
Right, I don't think. Right. But yeah, they stay in hotels for free. They don't really have any expenses during the season, is what you're saying. It's free meals, free hotels and stuff. Yeah, no, I think he's got four games to do it. Judge hasn't had an off day since August 5th. Thank Christ they have this bye, because this would be like borderline irresponsible.
I think it is borderline irresponsible. Yeah. I think even DHing, putting him out there on
turf.
On a wet field this weekend.
Yeah.
I wish he had hit it, you know, just hit it on Friday and, you know, so he could get the day off. Like, I'd prefer that he hit it and took off the full doubleheader tomorrow, got two at bats the next day, takes his time off.
They can't play him in both games of that doubleheader. If they were playing Friday in this wild card round, I would be freaking out. A guy hasn't had an off day in 2 months. I my gut feeling says he will play in three of the four in Texas. I don't think they'll play in both games of the doubleheader.
Yeah, no. Let's say he doesn't hit it, right? He doesn't hit it today. They DH him tomorrow, first game, and he doesn't hit it. You know he wants to DH the second game.
Maybe they will DH in both. He has – that is the one saving grace is a lot – like you just see games played. I don't know the exact breakdown, but it seems like I would say, what, 25% of the games he's played in, he's been the DH?
I can look it up. Yeah, I mean, you need to – you know, other guys need at-bats. So I believe he's – I don't think he's DHing tonight. He's playing the field because I think Stan's in the lineup. Yeah, but – I'm ready for him to just hit it and for us to just be done with it.
Yeah, no, it's time for the playoffs. I'm already getting into that mode. It looks like we're going to get, as of now, obviously there's four games left, but if the season ended today, we would get the winner of Cleveland versus Tampa Bay. I feel like, you know, sometimes I'll flip on the fan or I'll talk to other Yankee fans, and it seems like everybody's just thinks we're going to waltz through the DS and everybody's already talking about Houston. I think Tampa Bay would pose a serious challenge, especially having to play at least two games in the trot.
Obviously. I mean, that's probably right now like the team that I would want to see the least out of that group. Like, I feel good about playing the Blue Jays right now.
I don't want to see Seattle, man. We can't hit Castillo. Castillo just seems like
a don't want to see.
It's just like, we'll never beat him, ever.
I don't want to see Seattle. Also, just because like they're young, dumb, very excited.
That's a long flight.
Yeah, no part of that's fun. I think Cleveland, if I could pick anyone, I want Cleveland.
Cleveland's my first choice. The thing with Tampa is normally when we're the team with the bye, normally it's a huge advantage. Like, oh, they use their best pitcher. They can't use him till game four or whatever. Tampa they just bullpen everything, and they don't really even have a rotation. They just throw guys out on the mound. Like, I don't even think that would really affect them like it would another team.
Yeah, no, they're not I don't want to see them – because, like, obviously, like, what they're capable of doing with, you know, all those options. But the fact that, like, they will use all those options, and Boone has a tendency to, like, try to play what the other coach is playing, like, play their style. Yes. Instead of control and just, like, do what you can, what's in front of you, you know, play the ball that's hit to you, et cetera, et cetera. He'll start to get cute with shit. I mean, we saw it once, but like, if he wants to be the smartest guy on the field, he's not going to be that. He could be the best baseball manager and just focus on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Yankees need to slug their way out of close games so that Aaron Boone can't affect it as much. I mean, for them, I think for them to win in the playoffs, I think Judge and Stanton both need to go nuts. They just need to hit a shit ton of homers. Like, we're going to sit here over these next couple of days. We'll break everything down, all the matchups. Bottom line is, if the Yankees hit a ton of bombs, they'll probably win and go far. And if they don't, they won't.
Yeah. I mean, so here's been a funny thing about Judge not getting really anything to hit is we've complained for so long about how the Yankees, you know, if Judge doesn't homer, they can't win. And they've been winning without him homering, and we're also complaining, which I get the complaining because people just want to see this very specific thing at this moment in time. But it's like, to a certain extent, you can never make Yankee fans happy.
Oh, no, we'll always complain about something. Do you like the idea of him batting leadoff in the playoffs? I feel like at leadoff, he has like a 600 or 700 on base percentage. He's getting on base at a ridiculous clip. Is this how they're going to roll for the playoffs?
So I wouldn't have thought so before, but there's a part of me that like, all right, so once like the home run chase is over, he's still Aaron fucking Judge. And like, I don't know, I think it puts the opposing team on their heels immediately. And it's creating opportunities for the guys behind him. Like Glaber, how often are you getting a push notification that's just like Gleyber Torres singles, Aaron Judge scores?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just like bringing them around. And, you know, it puts pressure on the pitcher. Like, all right, fuck, this guy's getting on at a 550 clip the last whatever 3 weeks. So I don't want to put him on. But if I give him something to hit, he may hit it a million feet. When he doesn't hit a million feet, it's rockets into the gap. And so, like, the best bet is a lot of times to walk him. Now I got a runner on first.
And in the playoffs, a runner on first is a rally. Like, if you get a runner on first with nobody out, that's a rally. And it's almost an automatic walk. I was thinking about, and the Red Sox did this in 2018. They batted Mookie Betts leadoff in the playoffs. And I remember like the game would start and be like, shit, like I can't even take a breath. Like you said, I'm on my heels because the MVP is leading off the game. It was stressful.
And they yes. And, you know, for a game where let's say, you know, we're at home. All right. We get out of the first inning unscathed. Now you got Judge on first base. You've thrown five pitches and the place is ready to fucking explode. Like it's on top of you.
That was going to be my next point. If we get a 1-2-3 inning in our top half, Judge is coming to the plate. Like the place is erupting before we've even taken a swing. Basically everybody's standing up, all rise.
And it's like, all right, let's say Cole goes out there, right? It's game one. Cole goes out there, gets a 1-2-3 for a strikeout to end it. Roar. They announce Judge. Roar. Everyone's up. There's fucking chants going on, all this stuff. You walk him. There's no roar. It's boos on top of you. And then you've got to realign for fucking Rizzo or whoever. Like
Rizzo, Stanton, Torres. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that could work. It does work. I think that really does sound good at home. And again, you get him the most at bats. Whether the, you know, if it's a long game, maybe he gets six at bats. If it
goes he's your best player. You don't have like when you've batted him in other spots as of recent. It hasn't been good results for us as a team.
No, no, and you got to also put home runs. You got to put yourself in the you know position of the other team. Every team is going to be going in facing us and saying, "Don't let Aaron Judge beat us." There, I don't think he's going to get much to hit anyway. So for us, I think it's going to come down to really Rizzo and Stanton. If those guys can have big series, hit some bombs, I think we'll be fine. I think if they have 1-for-11 or 3-for-12 series with, you know, three singles and no homers, I don't think we're going anywhere. I think those guys are going to need to hit the ball out of the ballpark because I don't think Judge is going to get much to hit.
Yeah, I think Judge is going to get a ton to hit. But at the same time, then – you know, I believe it does kind of waterfall, a little trickle down economics of the lineup where like Judge gets on, you have all of that like energy going where now guys are, you know, we're not seeing like a ton of home runs. We're seeing doubles, singles, sac flies, and that feeds some of the guys like we've seen Connor Falefa play a lot better at the plate recently. And like you're seeing a little more. Higgy goes deep the other day. You can give them a little confidence. Now, guess what? There's someone on base while it comes back around.
Yeah. Nah, and as we talk this through, I think that is what they're going to do. I feel like one theme we've talked about all year is who's playing where in the infield. Like last week we were doing it. Donaldson, Torres, LeMahieu. I think I have an idea at third base. What would you say to DJ starting at third, playing the first six innings, you know, he gets three at bats, and then using Donaldson essentially as a defensive replacement.
I mean, it's not a terrible defensive replacement. I haven't looked at their actual stats recently.
I think Donaldson's at two. Donaldson's been at 217 the entire year. So I'm just going to guess that's what.
I mean, that probably is what it is. I feel like he's driven in some runs recently. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Glaber just got scratched right before we hopped on here.
That's awesome. Great.
So, you know, who knows what it's going to be. Yeah, Donaldson has, yeah, not much. He's in under 200 in his last seven games. He's in 250 in his last 15 games. So that's what it is. I've ignored a lot of the weekend aside from like, oh, yeah, like I got to see what's going on. But he had a couple sack flies. I think that's what threw me off. Yeah, I mean, I'd really like to see DJ being able to continue to like show us that some sign of life, some sign of being DJ LeMahieu to make me feel comfortable putting a guy in there with one foot.
Yeah, he's not 100%, but I feel like, all right, three at bats. Like I think DJ would go, and I'm really making this simple. DJ probably goes 1-for-3 with a single somewhere. Donaldson's going 0-for-3. Like I think Donaldson facing playoff pitching is going to be ugly. He has had some horrendous at bats. I get it. They love his defense. Fine. Bring him in the seventh inning. And let him play defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad option for a defensive replacement because it's still a bat, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And I just trust DJ is going to put Donaldson strikes out a lot. I know DJ is going to put the ball in play. I know his power is pretty much zapped with the toe injury. I just feel like maybe if there's second and third, two outs, DJ can punch that single to right in the fourth inning where Donaldson's going down swinging or looking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, DJ is 1-for-6 with a walk since he's been back. So I don't know. I'd like him to string together, a couple, get 3 games out of these next 4, because I don't think he'll play all 4. But I don't know, find 5 hits for me.
I want DJ to take this. Like, nobody likes Donaldson, right? Nobody,
yeah.
I want DJ to win this. You know, when you hear a coach say, I want you to win the job. Like, go do it. Like, DJ, please go out there and show us that you should be starting at third base in the playoffs. Because I'm telling you, Donaldson is not going to hit playoff pitching. He's just not.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's a delicate thing because there is a – how do you got to bring it to Donaldson in a way where it's like, hey, you're going to end up getting 1 at-bat a game at least here.
Or two.
Make the most of it, and then there's more. Yeah, you don't just lose him, because another thing I'm sure you want to talk about is there's still the rumblings of I don't know, do you even start Cole game 1, or is it Nestor now? And it's obviously it's Cole, because I think a thing that one, I think Cole's the best option. 2, I think another thing that plays into it is now and then you fucked Cole's head for game 2.
You can't do it psychologically with Cole. The other thing I like about it is if Cole does come out and shit the bed, you remember how the Yankees used to lose game 1 in 2003 or 99, whatever, and Pettit would start that game 2. He would always win game 2 if somebody lost game 1. I could see Nestor kind of being that calming presence, that stopper, that lefty stopper like Andy was. Almost like Cole is the Clemens. Like, you have to start him game 1 because he's got the best stuff. He's the highest paid guy. But you feel really confident with Nestor, who's kind of like the Andy, to be the stopper in game 2 if your ace loses. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, and I don't think that if you give if you give Nestor the start for game 1, I don't think it he's honored or whatever. But I don't think it affects him the way losing it affects would affect Cole.
Oh yeah, you've been making the analogy all year. We're married to this guy. You gotta please him. This is what he wants. He wants game 1. It would definitely, Billy Crystal making a game 3 minutes late fucked him up mentally. I can't imagine what this would do.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think you got to go Nestor, Cole, Nestor, and then I guess you're going Seve.
I'm going Seve game 3, and I decided I want Tyone game 4. I thought a lot.
Well, I don't think there's another option.
Herman actually is a better ERA. Yeah, but I think Tyone going, he's in the contract year. He's pitched well recently. I think this is the best you'll ever get of Tyone. He can make himself an extra $20, $30 million. If he has a really good postseason, he's been throwing the ball well. And I'd use Herman's kind of my long man, because one of these guys is going to have a 2 or 3 inning blow up start. And that's when you bring Herman in, I think.
Yeah. Well, so I think that if you go with Herman, Tyone is useless. If you go with Tyone, Herman has a use out of the pen.
Yeah, and that's how you got to – you got to maximize the pieces that we have. Same thing, you just how are these guys going to react to it? I mean, remember the thing with Jay Happ, he didn't want to come out of the bullpen, and it clearly showed. He let up 17 home runs in those 3 innings. So, yeah, I think you got to go Tyone game 4, and this is the time of the year, right, where we convince ourselves that the pitching's hopefully good enough. It hasn't been recently, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we've won some games. We've won games that we needed to. We've been able to breathe for a couple of weeks, which has been nice. It's been 3 weeks that we've been fairly confident about this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster.
leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
A thing I was just thinking of when I was in my right before we hopped on here. So everyone, if you have a friend that's a Met fan, make sure you reach out to them and congratulate them. They get more playoff baseball. They get one extra round, free baseball, opportunity to see games at home in Citi Field. It's good. That's good for the city. That's revenue. Good for them. Now, so they have blown the division. It's like 98% chance the Braves win the division. When they clinched, I believe they did not pop champagne, because heading into even this weekend, they were like 78% chance winning the division after they had lost like a bunch of games. So I believe the Mets will go into the playoffs having popped zero champagne leading into it. Like, this team that has not made the playoffs in so long has gotten to celebrate it zero. And like, what do? You win a game, you know, this week and go, oh, well, let's do it on Monday. Whatever.
Nah, it's got to be organic.
It's got to be organic. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Wow. I didn't think about that, because, yeah, when you're planning on winning the division and you clinch a spot, generally you don't celebrate. That is. Wow. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. They're not going to get that. I mean, they'll probably win their wild card round and they can do it then. But I've seen it in the past where, like, we'll clinch because like another team lost, but we lost. And then they don't do it, and then they'll do it.
We had a walk-off. The Red Sox celebrated winning the division, and Teixeira hit a walk-off home run against them.
Yeah, Teixeira, yeah.
So, yeah, they've had I mean, it happens sometimes. Like, hey, you know, you take it when you can take it. But, yeah, I think they just missed out on it.
I'm not like a Met. I don't really like, again, I didn't grow up in New York. I don't really hate the Mets, but it was kind of satisfying just because all you hear is, oh, DeGrom and Scherzer are bulldogs. They're horses. They never crumble under pressure. You know, Cole's a bitch. He sounds like Kermit the Frog. And then their two big ace bulldog alphas go out and just completely shit the bed in the biggest series of the regular season. I definitely took a little bit of joy in that.
Yeah, like, all right, when they made the World Series against the Royals, what was that, 2014?
15.
You got on the subway, and there are women going to work with, like, Mets earrings. They had a Mets jacket. They got this. You never saw any of that. Never saw any of this shit before, like, they had gotten into that, like, playoff run. You never fucking saw it. Yankee stuff, you see Yankee stuff all the time. Now, you see, I'm not saying you don't see any Mets gear. You see a Mets hat. Occasionally, you'll see some, especially if they're playing at home. But, like, if you think about it, their colors are off-putting. The blue with the orange, or, like, they've had a lot of, like, the black stuff with, it's, like, neon. it's really gaudy to have out in public. Whereas like a classy navy blue, white, gray, these are classy.
Blue-blooded program, baby.
You can do business in these colors. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Instead of looking like you're going to work like you work for the Harlem Globetrotters, you know? So these guys are going to pipe up, you know, oh, we got Uncle Steve. He's buying everything. Oh, Aaron Judge is going to sign with the Mets. Fine. Great. You want to sign Aaron Judge to a horrible contract because you think it's going to teach me a lesson? Go nuts. Go nuts. These people are mediocre. They're miserable. And like, you know, they want to talk because here's the thing about them. They talk shit and they talk shit and they talk shit. And I saw it in. It might have been 2014, like, you know, all the years were all over the place. Like, there was a point they were on a 10-game winning streak, and they came into the Bronx for a Subway Series with fucking – who was the last? Who was there? No, maybe it was DeGrom. No, I think it was Syndergaard, like, on the mound. Mm-hmm. And we kicked the shit out of them. And, like, that slows down the momentum. And the problem with them is, like – you know, if you see videos online where like a bully's picking on a little kid, and it turns out like that little kid knows karate or he's got a big brother who comes by.
Yeah,
that's what this is. They fucking they do it. They fucking they're poking us. And then once something like this weekend happens, if you talk to them, they're like, well, we're the Mets. It's supposed to happen. So we're used to this shit. You guys are we live rent free in your head.
No, it was interesting because they did. They had that lead all year. They were and there was so much shit talking about how much better their rotation was and how much better Scherzer and even though DeGrom didn't even pitch half the year, how much better they were than Cole as starting pitchers. Yeah, they did talk a lot of shit. And it's like the whole time we had a 10-game lead, 12-game lead, 13-game lead, and their lead never really got above like 4 games, I don't think. You know, after the second half, like the Braves were kind of coming for their throats the entire second half.
The Braves were closing in on them the whole time. The Braves, it was a couple weeks ago, were up half a game back and forth. I mean, when we were, you know, blowing out our lead, when we had like an 8-game lead, I was talking a ton of shit at the beginning of the year because like I've seen what could happen. And then, you know, we pumped it up to like 16 and but it dropped. Like you've got to be ready for that drop. And the last thing I want is a bunch of people in my mentions. I get enough of it from, you know, I wanted to trade Aaron Judge for this season.
No, yeah, there were. It's funny too because the Subway analogy that you just gave, that was me in 2008 with the Phillies. Like I was born in 1992. The Phillies never made the playoffs. Nobody ever even mentioned the word baseball around the Philadelphia area. It was all Eagles. Then the Phillies, you know, make the playoffs, and all of a sudden I see all these red T-shirts and Red October and the 4A. I'm like, where did you guys come from? Like, I've been watching baseball my whole life.
I've told the story before. When they made the playoffs the first year they made the playoffs, and I think they got swept by the Rockies.
Yeah.
I'm in college. Everybody's in the living room. It was a day game when they clinched. It was probably like a Saturday or Sunday. And – everyone's down in the living room watching because we got a plasma TV. Their flat screen TV is brand new. So it cost probably like fucking 10 grand.
Dude, they used to be so expensive.
So they're all watching. They go, they clinch. They all then turn to me and go, so what happens now? And I was like, what do you mean? The playoffs happened. They're like, how do you get tickets? Like, then I was like, oh, you guys have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, no, I remember that vividly. I know we've been bouncing around. I want to talk about just the bullpen. I wrote this down. This bullpen. So here are the updates that I wrote down. Clay has shoulder strain.
Yep.
Written done. Wandy should be back for playoffs. Miguel Castro back Monday. Like, what the fuck? Like, there's so many moving parts here. I don't even know where to start.
We have no bullpen. We have a bunch of guys who sit in the outfield. And like we actually have at this point no idea like who is going to be on the postseason roster. If you just put out to everybody, hey, make your picks right now. Yeah, there are some one seeds versus 18 seeds where you know they're going to advance. But the odds of having that lucky, that bracket that has everything right, if you're picking out the roster right now, is so tough with, like, who knows what's going on with Benintendi. Are we just going to cut Chapman? Like, that's getting very fucking real.
I thought they would tonight for Castro, but they put somebody else down. Maybe it was LeCastro. I don't remember. But I thought that might be tonight. And Britton, you know, he made 85 rehab appearances, and he comes back and throws three innings and then goes back on the 60-day IL with a shoulder strain. It's like, what?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, that's, I think it's a phantom injury.
Okay.
I think he came back. And nothing but, like, praise and, like, credit for Zach Britton to get back in a year to try to contribute. And he didn't have it.
He
did not have it. And so they needed the roster spot. They gave him the dignity of not DFAing him. Because also, I think ending the season on the IL gives him access to their trainers.
And he's a union guy, and they want to take care of
him. He's a union guy. I mean, they might be looking to bring him back.
Yeah.
You know, if you get him for $4 million.
Yeah, maybe. Clay with the shoulder strain is the big one. Like, if he – Boone says he should be ready for the DS. They say it's mild. If he can't go or he's not right, I just don't – it's going to be hard for them to get, you know, 6 to 9 to 12 outs at the end of these games.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be fucking – this will put some hair on your nuts this postseason.
It's uncharted territory. Dude, I was telling you last week, every year we go, all right, Green pitches the 7th, Betances pitches the 8th, Chapman pitches the 9th, you know, whatever. David Robertson pitches this inning. Like, we've always had that our whole lives, and now it is just like you said. It's like the NCAA tournament.
So if it were anyone other than Aaron Boone, it could be exciting because it's like, well, you know what? We're going to see the best guy to get this person out in this situation. Remember, like, when Terry Francona would bring in Andrew Miller in, like, the sixth inning?
Yeah.
And people are just like, what are you doing? He was like, I need to get this out. The three outs in the ninth inning don't matter if I don't have a lead. Yep. Now, I just don't trust Aaron Boone to be the one to make all these right calls.
We are going to be severely overmatched from a managerial perspective in the first round, as it stands now, whether it's Kevin Cash or Terry Francona. I mean, either way, we're in a big hole there in the dugout.
Yeah. That's why we got to hit our way out of it. It's going to be. Yeah. I mean, it's all of a sudden, like, people forgot Miguel Castro was alive.
Yeah. He hadn't pitched since July.
And yeah, I mean, Chapman.
He's done. It's just over. Like,
yeah, I mean, do they DFA him when they need a roster spot for Carpenter?
Yeah, I would. And they say Carp is going to Somerset this week and will be activated for the DS.
Yeah, I kind of don't love that. Like, I'd rather just bring him to fucking Texas.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Do they not want him on the turf? They rather him on the grass, or do they want to control the games with the simulated games? Sometimes they like having more control.
Maybe also to get him back, someone has to go. You know, like, you've got to – so I'm sure, you know, he's – they showed him taking batting practice over the weekend in the Bronx. But I've got to assume he's been taking hacks, you know, in the cage. Beyond that, he's run and things like that. So I would have rather see him play, like, today and Wednesday. But if they think they can make a better use of his time – by not having the travel, he's already done whatever he's going to do today. He's able to do more, get better treatment, whatever the case may be. It's going to be interesting because he's a man without a position with kind of one foot who's been pretty good, you know, pretty good kind of randomly this year.
It sucks that he's not healthy and can't play third base anymore, because I think he used to play some third base when he was younger. Like, that would be perfect for him. Like, Donaldson sucked all year. Get another lefty bat in there and play some third base. I mean, I know he's not at that point. They're not going to put him in the outfield in the playoffs. Stan's clogging up the DH spot. There doesn't seem to be a place for him, but he is the typical guy that you could see hitting a massive pinch hit, three-run home run at some point.
Yeah, like, if he was a fat guy, it'd be much easier to picture. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who is it? Vogelbach, whatever they have.
Yeah, Matt Stairs from the
Phillies.
Matt
Stairs, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Who did for the Phillies, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Just a guy who comes in and is like, I've got You know, like when a closer comes in and he's got one pitch, it's like, I got one swing, and it's fucking bomb.
Walk, homer, strikeout. And I guess Cabrera's going to be the left fielder, I think.
Yeah. Like, learning to play left field at the major league level after crash course in right field. Like, and you came up as a third baseman, shortstop.
It is funny, but they need to. They're so desperate for lefty bats. Obviously, Hicks would have been a lefty bat as a switch hitter. He's not going to play. Gallo was a disaster. It's just Rizzo and Cabrera from the left side.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like our having a mix of bats like that. When we got Gallo and got Rizzo last year, it was like, oh, this really like mixes things up more. That fell apart fast.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a disaster. We're always a lefty bat short. And Bader, I just pictured Harrison Bader being left-handed because he's a fast, smaller center fielder. And in my mind, in Little League, that's just what those guys are. And it was, when I saw he was right-handed, I was like, oh, I was kind of let down.
He's been fun.
Yeah, no, he has been. But it would be nice if he'd be like a good guy to be a lefty, some drag bunting.
He's been fun when like there's a ball in right center. And like Judge isn't making like a crazy catch, just like, you know, jogging to his right. Bader's there when he catches, like, yeah, fuck yeah, man, let's go.
Yeah.
I like that.
The energy level, I mean, from Hicks to him is, oh my God, what a difference in energy levels.
Yeah, like, you know, obviously it's cut his hair, but like he had longer, he's just a golden retriever.
Yes, no, he is. He is. Yes, Carpenter's back, Ben Intendi. They're saying maybe CS, but I think we're getting close to just bagging that. Because you get to a point where it's like, if he hasn't played meaningful baseball in 6 weeks, you're going to toss him in there against Verlander game one. Like, it almost becomes.
I mean, I don't know that he starts, but I think if he's there. So, all right, let's take, because I don't know, we got to kill like pretty much 10 minutes so we can see a Judge at bat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's take a stab at. Like, what does our bench look like? So for the outfield, we've got Cabrera, Bader, Judge. DH is Stanton. We're going Rizzo, Kleber, IKF. And then you want to go DJ. I'm fine with that. We've got Higgy. We've got Trevino. So Peraza's not on the roster?
Well, they're going to need some sort of backup shortstop. Do they use Marwin as the platoon utility backup shortstop guy? Because they need a second shortstop on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think – I guess, like, yeah, no, maybe it's Peraza instead of Marwin. But then also, like, you're carrying two DHs.
That's the problem.
Because we've got Carpenter.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think they go Marwin just because of the versatility. They haven't played Peraza at all. I don't think they're going to carry him. I think they're going to carry Marwin, and they could say, oh, well, if somebody else gets hurt, he could fill in here.
All right.
That's just what I think. I mean,
I'm just trying to do some math. So you got the three outfielders, DH, four. So yeah, we've got nine with the starting lineup. Then Donaldson's 10. Higgy's 11. Carpenter's 12. So I guess, yeah, there's one more spot, which would be either Gonzalez or Hicks.
And Hicks, I'd go Gonzalez.
Yeah, Hicks can't play any infield. Marwin can play some outfield if needed.
I think Gonzalez gets it. And then obviously.
I think they go 14 and 12. 12 pitchers.
12 pitches. So you already accounted for Cabrera, right, as an outfielder?
Yeah.
DHs. And then pitching-wise, obviously, Cole, Nestor, Severino, Tyone, Herman. Do they have a – they probably won't have a six. Clark Schmidt will be there. Litke will be there. Loizaga will be there. Marinaccio?
Probably.
Efros, yes. Holmes, if he's healthy, yes.
And I'm treating it as if they're going to go 14 fielders, 12 pitchers. If they carry 13, which is a possibility, someone's got to be off.
I'm looking at the list of pitchers on the 40 man, and Chapman is by far the worst option. Like, there's no way he can be on. Like, Trevino should be on ahead of him. Marinaccio, Clark, Litke, Loaisiga, Efros. Even Miguel Castro, I really don't see – I don't see a way that Chapman is on here.
I mean, Chapman's not helping himself at all. I think they could and they should, over this four-game series, find two appearances for him. As, like, you got to show us something, man. You got to have two perfect innings.
I guess. To me, it wouldn't even do anything. He's been bad for, what, two and a half years at this point? Like, two games in Texas at the end of the season aren't going to change him. How many balls have we watched him launch into the backstop or the net?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you. I'm more but with this shaky bullpen, I know it is a, you know, it's a five-game series, but do you carry – is 12 pitchers enough? I think you might have to go 13.
I guess Ridings isn't – he tweeted the plane up emoji. Oh, Wandy. Wandy should be back and activated for the
plane. Yeah.
Forgot.
Yeah. Jason Shreve didn't throw a pitch in the minor leagues for the Yankees after we signed him. Nothing happened.
That – and did Wade get in a game for us after he came back? I don't think I saw –
No. Wade did not. Okay. No, he did not. But like
– a lot of pictures in the dugout.
Shreve didn't even play in the minors. He just didn't – he signed in and just never played baseball.
Wade played in the minors.
Yes.
Big.
Yeah. No, Tyler Wade was still a baseball player throughout the year. Like, he might be with the team now as, like, you know, because doubleheader on the road, they bring extra guys.
Yeah, I think your bullpen is basically going to be Wandy in for Chapman, and then Holmes in for maybe Holmes for Castro.
Maybe.
Montas isn't going to be it. I don't think he'll be doing anything.
No, I don't. I think he's not going to be an option in the first.
What a fucking joke.
In the, like, first round, anyway.
You just think about how funny it is. It's like, not only is the guy a complete bust, not only is he nowhere close to Luis Castillo, he won, what, one game for us, or two games maybe, and then it's like, oh, maybe he'll come back as a reliever in the playoffs. Like, this guy was supposed to be our number two. Like, it's just – it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't. It's gonna roster construction is going to be tight, and it would just be so much easier if, like, we just knew guys were healthy.
Yeah, it's all. I mean, even Efros, who's back, he was injured. All these guys are nicked up. Like, who are the top three relievers that you trust right now?
Efros? It's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot. Yeah.
Loaisiga, Efros, and I guess Wandy, if he's back, those three. I mean, that is, like, so uninspiring.
And it's like you're adding to your top three if he's back.
Right.
You know,
right.
like that's it. That's also the thing when you're making the, you know, the lineup is Judge has been there all year. Everyone else has been kind of in and out. Well, no, IKF has also been there all year.
Yeah, and just staring at this roster, the infield. I mean, you have so many guys that can't hit. Donaldson can't hit. Marwin can't hit. IKF can't really hit. I mean, that's – the infield's pretty weak.
I mean, you know who your shortstop's going to be, though. You know who your second baseman's going to be. Third base is the big problem. Is like, what decision do you make there? And, it's a stretch. I'm sure they'll make it work. I'm sure there's something I'm thinking of. But, like, Donaldson can't play other positions.
No, he really can't.
So it's like when it comes down to it, like, is Marwin in this situation more valuable than Josh Donaldson?
He might be, but there's no – they are going to – Donaldson will be on the roster, I promise you. They love his defense, and I'll give him credit. The defense has been fantastic. The Yankees also – I don't know if you've noticed it. The relievers that they have now, they have a lot of ground ball relievers. Like, it's not like a couple of years ago where it was Green and Betances and Chapman just blowing strikeouts by. A lot of their best relievers, like Wandy is a ground ball guy. Efros is a ground ball guy. Like, they really need that infield defense because they don't have relievers that are getting a ton of strikeouts.
Yeah, no, it is like you need a good infield. You can't, like, worst case scenario is Glaber having to move over to shortstop in the playoffs.
No, that can't. Yeah, that can't. That's what I'm saying. We need Marwin just as an emergency. It's too important of a position not to have a backup plan. Although I guess if IKF does get injured, they can replace him.
I don't know that you could do it like mid round.
I think you can mid round. You just can't do it mid game.
Okay, so mid round, but then he can't. I think then they're out for the playoffs.
Right. And the other thing is, like, if IKF gets hurt in the third inning, you'd still need Glaber to play shortstop for six innings. You know,
yeah.
Of that game. So yeah, it's too risky. Yeah, they're gonna have to roll with what they got. But the infield is questionable, and the relievers are questionable. I think the rotation in the outfield is where I feel the best.
Yeah, I mean I mean Rizzo at first base is great. I mean, the guy's got, I forget how many home runs he has, but like he's close to 30 home runs. DJ's getting some burn tonight at first base. That's good. He needs the at-bats. Donaldson, like, we need to see something out of him. But, yeah, I think, you know, the more I think about it, DJ's at third. And at least he's a 260 hitter. Remember when he hit 360 in 2020?
That was fun. His 19 and 20, he was so fun. I feel like every time he came on with runners on, he hit a single or a double.
Yeah. And, I mean, Stanton is still, like, Stanton's a 209 hitter.
He has been all right. Yeah, let's do that. Stanton has just looked completely lost since he's gotten back. So everybody says it's the timing thing, and oh, he's going to go on a streak, but it's got to be the foot or the Achilles or the ankle, right? It's got to be.
I mean, if he gets hits, he went on a streak. If he doesn't get hits, he didn't go on a streak. Like, that's all. People are just being like, oh, well, he's a good baseball player, so it'll just be different. And it's more likely that there's some kind of lingering something. But then you also give him the cop-out. Like, maybe he's just not playing good. Sometimes guys just, like, don't play good.
Yeah, but he's been here for 5 years, and we've never seen him down to 209. Like, him doing good is, like, 240, even 235. But 209 for Stanton, it's like, goddamn.
I mean, that's why even, like, the combination of facing Texas, who's really not good, and – facing and then having some time off, like, who knows, maybe that helps get him right. Maybe that, you know, I don't know what the schedule, I'm sure we're going to see some tweets from like, you know, from reporters of like, oh, they're out there practicing, you know, on like Saturday or something.
Yeah,
but I really hope that for the guys who are struggling going into this, like, it's just like classes in session, and, you know, whatever, you know, time you can spend with a hitting coach looking at film, you know, where you don't have to play a game. Like, I would expect them to take the day off on Thursday and then on Friday be at the stadium looking at, like, I don't want that because they're in Texas. I don't want Stanton popping home for the weekend to California.
Right. I was going to ask you, what do they do with this bye? Because it's really not –
They need to be practicing and watching film and working with the coaches, and whether they're taking batting practice on the field or they're taking it in the cage underneath, like, they need to be in there. You need to give these guys the structure. Otherwise, we're going to see fucking Stanton on the Santa Monica Pier, like, bench pressing Adriana Lima or someone like that. And it's just like, oh, it's the Giants on the boat.
Yeah, no, I could see that. See, I'm worried that Boone's going to send them home on Wednesday night and be like, oh, come back Saturday or come back Sunday. Like, you think they're just going to go right from Texas to New York and just start prepping?
I mean, They should. I mean, we're talking about winning the World Series here.
Yeah.
This isn't, hey, an extra day in the middle of the season to, like, you know, clear your head. If your head's not clear, it's not going to get clear with a day off. It's going to get clear with some fucking hard work in the bullpen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think they should stay. And look, they're going to, and obviously all the coaches are going to be scouting, and I'm sure they'll be interested in who they're going to play in the first round. Hopefully whoever we play is, like, banged up and games go into extra innings and somebody gets hurt, you know, like, hopefully whoever comes into Yankee Stadium Tuesday night comes in battered and beaten up a little bit.
Yeah. Yo, this stadium's ugly as fuck.
Looks like an airport.
Like, the turf is stupid. It looks awful. Because it's, like, worn down at the end of the season, too. So, that sucks. In general, I've thought it has, like, similar to, like, the Comiskey or whatever, the guaranteed rate.
Oh,
like
that's my
prison feeling.
Yeah.
With no personality to it.
I think it's the colors too. Like that, like I went to the night game there when we played there a couple years ago, and their colors are black and white, and it's really dark. And yeah, you feel like you're in a prison. Their uniforms kind of look like jumpsuits.
The walls are all painted gray. Yeah. It's not even like cinder block gray. It's like, well, that wasn't gray enough. All right, let's get Judge in the box and let's fucking do this. I got to get my kids baths.
Facing a lefty. This is a weird stadium. Look how high those left field upper deck seats
are. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're planning on packing it in for the playoffs. It's never going to happen.
A lot of empty seats.
Josh Hamilton's not walking through that door. Let me tell you, if the big man wasn't about to step in the box, a lot more empty seats.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, think about it. Every Yankee fan in like a 2-mile radius is there.
That's true. That's true.
Not a 2-mile, like a 2-hour radius.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I just lost my picture.
Me too.
Oh, hit it now, Judge. Hit it now, Judge, where no one can see it.
Commercial break in progress. Are you back?
It says commercial break in progress, but that's not the point we were in the broadcast.
Dude, imagine if we're on here and he does it and we're just staring at this MLB TV icon.
That would be iconic. That would be amazing. Like, I'm refreshing Twitter to see if other people are freaking out.
Now he's coming up. I think it may have just reset. He's doing his thing where he talks to the ump.
Yeah. You're always like 2 seconds ahead of me.
I have I don't know if this is because, but I have, not to brag, you know, I have Blast or whatever the highest internet.
Okay, but you don't have cable.
I do have cable, actually. They forced us to get it. They said.
Wait, so you're watching on a cable box?
No, I'm watching on my computer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This camera angle's really high too.
Yeah, the camera angle sucks. I saw an article. Let me just complain about everything. I did see an article a while ago. It was pretty interesting about how, because different stadiums have, should have swung at that big man. How, because different stadiums have different angles. There are so many pitches that to us look like what the fuck's this umpire calling, but it's actually a good call because we're thrown. The box doesn't take into a and it just showed
tonight either.
It showed a bunch of examples.
You notice Yes has been like some games they'll have the box and some games they don't.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it's a clown show over there. What's like if I'd like Judge to hit this and then pull him from the game.
That'd be sick.
Have Hicks go run for him from second. There we go. Ground ball. Don't pull a hamstring.
You got some pitches to hit there.
Yeah.
Got two fastballs in the zone.
Yeah, they're trying to get this fucking Weber grill of a stadium on the highlights for forever.
Let's watch Stan hit before we bounce here.
All right. I closed it out. I get my kids bad, dude. You're about to learn about this.
I know.
No, wait. So let's talk about that for a second. Yeah, when you're having a kid?
January 19th.
Yeah. There we go. Do we know the sex?
We don't. We're going old school.
I'm asking all these questions as if I haven't known for months.
I think it's just going to be a lot more radio listening to games. Like, I think, all right, time to walk the baby and I'll just have Sterling on her. I'm going to go sit in a park with a baby and have Sterling on. Like, do you think that's realistic as a parent?
No, I think you're just going to be at home watching it on TV. When it's like a baby, like next year, you're going to be out for a walk and like in a park or whatever. You're just going to be like, oh, if you're not screaming right now, we're going to leave you right where you are. Do not disturb the baby.
Got it. Okay.
And hopefully the baby will just be chill.
Hopefully.
So it's funny. You came up to me we were in Baltimore and you were like, Jamie's pregnant. And I was like, oh, dude, that's awesome. And you were like, you didn't know? Because I kept saying, like, when you'll have a kid, it'll change your life. And you just thought that I knew that you did, and I didn't. I was just like, go to as many games as you can, because you can watch on TV. You cannot go to as many games as you'd like.
Yeah, no, nope. I understand that. But you also, there was also a thing where you had said, like Jamie gave her friend who was pregnant a gift
yes.
on Facebook, and then you, so, like, there were so many hints here that I did.
Yeah.
You're just, like, an instinctual guy. I just kind of figured.
I just had no idea. All right, well, Maureen Perez just threw more strikes to Aaron Judge than every pitcher over the last week.
Yeah, fuck the Orioles.
All right, follow Nick on Twitter.
At NKirbyNYY.
Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. We'll be back next week with a postseason preview.
Woo!
We'll see you at the parade.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.